You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to talk to you tonight on, you can just turn, if you want to, in your Bibles to Philippians 3. We'll get started there. But I want to talk to you tonight on the right things to forget. Amen. The right things to forget. And Dad and I had a conversation I thought was kind of neat. He actually brought out some of the things we talked about in our conversation about, you know, there are things you need to remember, and then there's things you need to forget. You know, there are things you need to remember how good God is. You need to remember the blessings that you know, He's given you. You need to remind yourself of the victories and the overcomings, you know, in your life that God's helped you to get through. And you need to forget those failures, and you need to forget the times where you messed up and didn't do just right, or you know, I might have to go down just a little more. I tell you what, I'll fix it. Watch this. Hold on. There we go. All right, that's good enough. All right, so you need to forget those things that are, and we'll see this in this first scripture, but you need to forget those things that are behind. And I know I went over this, I used this scripture in a message I taught here not too long ago. I guess it's been a long time ago, actually. Maybe about, it was last year sometime. But anyway, so I did use this scripture, but I was preaching on something different. But let's just read it here. Verse 13 of chapter 3 in Philippians. Is everybody with me there? All right, verse 13. It says that, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The way he obtained, you know, reached or reached for this goal, and one of the things he did in reaching for this goal and in attaining this, you know, prize, the high calling, you know, was to forget those things that were behind. He had to forget. You know, the devil liked to remind you of all your failures, and keep you from being successful in life. And that's his goal. That's his job, is to deceive you and lie to you and tell you that you can't make it, and that you can't overcome, and you can't be successful, and you can't have what God says you can have. And so, you know, and it's a sad, it really is, it's a sad life to live, and there are lots of people that live in a life of remembering the failures. And we, you know, as Christians, we of all people need to have the, you know, mentality that, hey, we're going to remember the good things, we're going to remember what God's, you know, how God's come through for us, and how he's blessed us, and how he's delivered us, and set us free. And he's going to remember how he, you know, gave us $17.50 to go get a Bible, and you know, and split trains in half, and you know, got extra bonuses at Christmas to pay for extra kids that you have, you know, for Christmas stuff. You know, we're going to remember those times that, you know, God did come through for us, and he came, and the times that we believed him, and we stood on his promises, and we stood on his word. We need to remember those things. But those are the things we've got to keep our minds and our focus on, so that we can reach forward to the next prize, to the next goal, to the next, you know, vision that we have. And I got to minister in Center Christian Fellowship Sunday and a half ago. I don't know how that works, but you know, a week and a half ago Sunday, you know. Okay, so anyway, it wasn't like a half a Sunday, but anyway, you know, something I mentioned there that I think that. I may have mentioned here before too, is that, you know, we have to have a vision. You know, without a vision, my people perish. I mean, that, you know, that's what God says about his own people. They perish if they don't have a vision, you know, something to look forward to, something to go after. Because what will happen is you'll be idle. You'll be idle all the time. Well, what's your goal in life? What are you doing? Well, I don't really know. Well, most of the time, those people are just kind of idling. You know, they're just kind of sitting, you know, maybe they're maintaining a job or, you know, whatever, but they're not, they don't have a vision of, you know, man, I want to do this, you know, in 10 years or 12 years or 15 years or 20 years or whatever it may be. And Dad says this quite often, and I'd mention that, I will say that quite often too. Dad says, and I did that, and I confessed it, and I did that several times while I was teaching in center, and I said, and Dad says, you know, but Dad says this quite often, y'all know who Dad is here. But Dad says this quite often. It says, you know, whenever you've got a vision that might take 20 years, and you somebody asks you, you know, well, man, why you gonna believe God that long? Well, what else am I gonna do for 20 years or 15 years or 10, whatever it may, the time limit may be? what better thing have I got to do than to believe? And then whenever that time gets here, I will have been believing that whole time, and I will have reached my goal and reached my vision, and my plan will be complete, and then I'll have a new plan and a new goal and a new vision. And God will give me new insight and new, you know, fresh ideas to move forward to another goal, another vision. And, you know, so, and you know, this was just like God whenever I was studying for a message, not for tonight per se, but God gave me a message that I could use tonight as well. But when I was studying for this message, you know, it just happened to be near the beginning of the year, and I had no intention of teaching on, you know, New Year's resolutions, but it just goes great with making New Year's resolutions, or in our lives, daily resolutions, you know. We need to make a vision. We need to set a goal, set our plans, and get that focus and have that vision like God says for us to have. But then furthermore, in a family, in a relationship, in a marriage, in a family, in a church setting like this, we need to have the same vision. We need to have common vision. We need to be unified in our vision, in our goals. And so that's why, you know, you hear this all the time. If you're going to work out, get you a partner, somebody to work out with you. If you're going to diet, man, get two or three people to help. Because when you get a unified vision of multiple people together, working together with the same goal in mind, you encourage each other, you help each other. And unlike the devil would do whenever it's just you by yourself, the devil's going to try to remind you of how, you know, you tried this last year and it didn't work. And I'll tell on somebody, I won't mention their names, but I know somebody that likes to start diets, and it always starts on Monday. Well, I mean, you know, if I'm thinking about changing something, you know, like if I want to start a diet, I'm starting, if I make up my mind, I'm starting right now. It doesn't matter what day it is. And I have dieted and tried to keep, you know, trim, eat right, eat healthy. I'll say this, I've tried to eat healthier, you know, eat more chicken salads instead of fried chicken strips, you know, chicken sandwiches instead of hamburgers. But, you know, the devil would try to and discourage you and say, well, you know, you tried this last week, you know, last Monday, and it didn't work. And you know, and but that's not how we need to be. We need to be around people. We need to be, you know, encouraging others, but also being around people that, you know, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And in a church setting, in a family setting, in a, you know, marriage, and you want to have the same goal, the same vision, same thing in mind. But we do. We have to forget, and I know Dad mentioned this in his message this Sunday, and he said this, and you may not have caught it, but I did because we were talking about it. But he says, you know, you do need to remember certain things, but there are definitely things you have got to forget. You've got to put the past behind you. You've got to put the past in the behind and look forward. You've got to go forward, press towards that high calling, the prize, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus is what Paul's saying here, and he's writing, you know, to the Philippians here, the church at Philippi. So forget those things that are behind you. Another example of this, let's turn to turn to Hebrews 11. I won't try to keep you too long this evening, but you're going to turn to Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read to you while you're turning there out of Galatians. In Galatians 5, oh goodness, I might have wrote this wrong. Did I write this wrong? Yes. No, I wrote it exactly right. You just have to be in there. When you're reading, make sure that you're reading out of the book that you're talking about. Okay, yeah, in Galatians, y'all are in Hebrews 11. In Galatians, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know, whenever the devil comes at you and he deceives you into thinking that you can't do something, all he is doing is putting you in bondage, and we have been made free from that. Everybody say, "I'm free." You know, first of all, we're Christians. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. I mean, the old man is dead. The old man is gone. That person that we were before, you know, that's one thing that the devil loves to try to do is if you've, you know, first of all, if you've created some great sin in your life, he wants to bring that up, you know, all the time, constantly. If you were, you know, and I have a different scenario, I guess, than a lot of people because I can only remember being saved, you know, because my mom and dad, you know, raised me in church, And all I remember is being saved. But some people get saved at different times of their life. And they have a haunted past in some, you know, cases, a very grim looking past. But you know what? That's not who that person is anymore. And Dad teaches it well here. We're not sinners saved by grace. We are saints. We were sinners, but we are not now sinners. You know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, we're not. That's not who we are anymore. Our person has changed. That old man is, you know, just like the picture teaching of water baptism. Water baptism, you're showing publicly that I have become a new creature in Christ. I am saved, and the old man, he is dead, and I'm burying him, and I'm being raised in newness of life. That's what baptism does. And so that he's gone. He is forgotten. And as far as sins go, when you ask for forgiveness, God said he's just and he's faithful to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But he also says this. He says he forgets them and remembers them no more, your sins no more, and he casts them as far as the east is from the west. There is no, it never meets. Now, north and south, you can get to the North Pole and the South Pole, right? But east and west, you just keep going. Keep going east, and it's still east. You can go west, and it's always west. You keep on going. They never meet, and so it will never be remembered anymore. If God, who obviously is a good example for us to follow, and not just forgiving, you know, our sins, but also forgiving others, if God doesn't remember it, why do we keep need to bring it up? You know, the devil's the one that's trying to bring it up, but why do we need to keep thinking about it and dwelling on it? It's done. It's forgotten. You've already asked for forgiveness. He's forgiven you. It's gone. Forget those things that are behind. Amen? Press on to that prize. So, we stand fast in the liberty. We've been free. We've been made free as Christians. And you don't want to be entangled again with that yoke of bondage, because that's all that it will be, is bondage. Whenever you let the devil deceive you into, you know, saying, I can't make it. I can't do this. I tried this before. It didn't work. Or, you know, my brother, sister's, you know, friends, nephews, aunt did this, and they died. I mean, they didn't even... They had the same little thing. You know, I had this twitch in my eye. Started out as a twitch, and then I had, you know, it went all through my body, and then I died or something. You know, no, don't. I know it's silly. We make fun of it, but that happens. People do that. They have this paranoia when people start talking about all this happening. But anyway, don't let the devil do that to you, because that is bondage, and you are set free from that. We have been made free. And, you know, I think it's interesting too, stay with me here if you're taking notes. All right, John 14 talks about how that Jesus said he's what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All right, and then we know that in John 1, I'm going to put this, I'm going to tie this all together. When I did this before in a message, and it worked out really good. But, okay, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. In the beginning, John 1, was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father. That's the 14th verse there. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, or the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's verse 17. Okay, so we know that Jesus is the truth, and he's the way, and he's the life. And the truth is in Jesus, but Jesus is also the Word. And the truth, we can also, because the truth is Jesus and Jesus is the Word, we could also say that the truth is in the Word. Amen? So we when the devil reminds us, and this is something that, you know, Dad says, and it's always good. When the devil reminds us of things that happened in the past, we remind him that, hey, the Word, the truth, which has already set me free, the truth says this. And a perfect example of that is when Jesus was in the wilderness. And he was in there, you know, the devil came to him after he'd been in there for 40 days, and he tempted him, and he tried to get him to bow down to him, tried to turn rocks into, you know, bread, and he tried to, you know, cast himself off a cliff and all these things. But in every case, Jesus did what to the devil when the devil tried to tempt him and to do something, came back with the Word? Because where's the liberty and where's the setting free business happening? Where's the truth and where's our deliverance? In the Word. And so, obviously, when it happens, when the devil comes against you, you know, with things in your past, you just go to the Word and you say, you know what? God was faithful to forgive me of that, or God's word says that I can overcome, not fail like I did before. You know, I made a mistake. I didn't believe. I didn't do this, or I wasn't a believer then at all, or whatever the case may be. But this is what God's word says, and that's the truth. And that's going to set me free. It's going to make me successful. It's going to help me to reach forward to this prize, to this goal. Amen. All right, so now you're in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Amen. Everybody say this is all good. All good stuff. And this is just a neat passage of Scripture. I mean, it goes right along with this. And you know, as Dad says, this is Hebrews is one of my favorite books. I have 66 in the Bible. This is one of 66 that I love. But in Hebrews 11, this is coined the Faith Hall of Fame, you know, the faith chapter, you know, starts out in the first verse, now faith is, you know, and tells you what faith is, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by, you know, the elders obtain good testimony, and by faith we understand that the worlds are framed. Oh, just faith, 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 faith. By faith Enoch and Abel and all these people did things, and without faith, now, wait a second, without faith, verse 6, it's impossible to please him, talking about God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is, I'm quoting King James and reading New King James, and it doesn't work. Because I was raised on the King James as well, and I read it, and I have to, okay. But they must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then by faith Noah, then by faith Abraham, and so on and so forth. It's a good faith chapter. You need to read it all slower than I just try to read it. And it says here in verse 13, it says, all these people that we just talked about, all these faith people we talked about, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, and Dad clarifies this, and it needs to be clarified. You know, you would think when they said this that, well, they died in faith and nothing ever good happened to them that they were supposed to have promised. Well, no, it talks about all the good things that were promised to them and that it happened in their lifetime. But, you know, they didn't receive the promise of eternal life. They were looking forward to the coming of the Savior and Jesus, and that didn't happen in their lifetime. But having seen them afar off, knowing that Jesus was coming, knowing that there was a Savior that was going to save the world from their sins, and they were going to be able to, you know, eventually take part of that if they'd been alive when it happened, obviously they would have been able to experience it. But anyway, having seen these things afar off, they were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Well, that's so good, and I won't try to expound on that too much. But we are not. We are in this world. We are not of it. Christian people are of a different world. They're from a different realm. I mean, there's just a different place and space and time. I mean, we're heavenly. We're heavenly. We're spiritual creatures. You know, we're spirits. We have a soul. We live in a body. And that body is how we travel around on this earth. But that's not who we are. We're the spirit person on the inside of us. And we're made for a better place. We're made for heaven. You know, we're made for living with Jesus and our Father God in heaven. Amen. That's who we are. And these people who lived by faith in their time, they realized they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were not supposed to be in this earth. They were made for a better place. All right? For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Ooh, a home. How many of you seek a homeland? Homeland called heaven. They seek a homeland, and truly, now, whoa, this is very good. This is what I want to get to. Truly, this is of a truth here. This is important. Take notice. Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return to it. They would have had opportunity to return. Whoa, wait a second. So if they started thinking about their life before, or the way they lived before, or the country they had lived in before that wasn't this prosperous and this new kingdom, new country, new, you know, new way of living. If they had looked back, if they had thought, they would have had opportunity to return to that. Why? How? Because they would have lost their focus and their vision of going toward the prize and toward the goal that's this way. If they're looking back here, they can't look where they're going. And I'm telling you, just like old Toucan Sam and that big old nose, you follow your nose. And in this case, you follow your eyes. If you're looking back, that's where you're... Did you see? I didn't even mean to do that. But you see what happens here when I look back? I'm looking back. My whole body's trying to turn to go back that way too. You cannot look on the past and look on failure and look on, you know, sin and those things or the way that you used to live and be successful and make it into this way, the goals of, that God has in mind and in store for you and a new life and a new way of living. You've got to separate yourself from that. And we are separate from that as Christians, amen? But if they had looked on, it says if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return to it. Would have had opportunity to return to it. You know, and I that's just a really good example. And I wanted to bring out another one too. We talked about Abraham and Sarah here and some other examples. And I wanted to bring this up. And this really came alive to me whenever I was studying this story. And I almost hesitated on sharing this story at first. But then after I got to reading it, I thought, man, that's just too good. We got to mention that. But Abraham, who obviously, hey, you know what? Abraham's a good example of changing who he was and becoming somebody else. God had promised him, Genesis 17 promised him that he was going to be the father of many nations. And in that chapter of Genesis 17, God changed his name. God changed his name. He helped Abraham out a little bit. Because Abraham was having trouble believing this thing and getting, you know, bringing this thing into, you know, manifestation, I guess you could say. And God says, hey, look, you know what? We're going to change your name because you're not going to be Abram anymore. You're going to be Abraham. And Abraham meant father of many nations. That's what he told him. He was going to, your seeds will be like the sand of the shore. You know, you're going to have, your descendants are, you know, be blessed and they're just going to be innumerable, uncountable, you know, uncountable. Whatever that word is, however you say that, innumerable. But I mean, you can't count them, you know, can't put numbers to them. All right. And so anyway, and he had this promise, but he changed his name because now when Abraham introduced himself to anybody, he would say, "Hi, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations." And people, you don't even have kids, you know. But here's Abraham though, he's confessing who he is, and he's not Abram anymore. He's not calling himself Abram anymore. He's calling himself what God called him to be. Simple analogy there, but powerful. In your life, you can't be calling yourself a failure, and you can't be calling yourself a sinner, and you can't be calling yourself, you know, a no good. And, you know, man, I'm just no good. I just can't, you know, I can't ever get this right. I can't, you know, you can't be doing that. Your confession needs to be, I am a success. I am healed in Jesus' name. I am the healed of the Lord. You know, I am the prosperous, the successful, the joyful. You know, because a lot of times what will happen whenever you're reminded of your past and reminded of failures and things, you go into a depression. You'll get depressed and you'll get down. And that's the way the devil loves to keep you, is down. But you need to be up. You need to be up. And you need to, you know, you need to change the way you look at yourself, change the way you talk about yourself. And when you talk to other people about yourself, you need to tell them who you are in Christ, who you are according to the Word, who you are according to what God says you should be. So anyway, to my example here, Abraham's nephew was Lot. And Lot, you know, they separated because their, you know, herdsmen were kind of arguing. They had a pretty big group of guys there, and Abraham told him, he says, you know, you pick where you want to go, and I'll go the other way. And so Lot, you know, Lot says, ooh, man, that valley over there looks really nice. I'm going to go over there because, man, that's going to be a great place to live, you know. So, anyway, long story short, Lot gets into some trouble. He's in this city, and this city is full of sin. Very bad situation, and God's going to destroy the city because of the fact that there is just so much sin in this city. Now, the angels come in there. They come to, you know, rescue the family out, and I'm trying to condense this real quick. And he tells them, he says, you know, you got to get out of here. And so Lot, you know, they grab the family. He says, okay, looky here. And this is what I thought was really neat, really interesting. He says, looky here, you know, first of all, he tells them, Don't look back at the city. When we're leaving this behind. Okay? Don't look at those things which are behind. And this is what I thought were just tied in so well. He says, look to this mountain. Look to that mountain. Just parallels so great with all the other stories in the Bible, the Mount Zion and the hills which comes our help in Psalms, and God, you know, being on this mountaintop, you know, and that's where we go to. But it says, look to that mountain, okay, and you go to the mountain. That's where your focus needs to be. That's your deliverance. That's your, you know, that's where your safe house, your tower deliverance, you know. And if you run to that, you keep your eyes on that, you'll be safe. Don't turn around and look at that city. You're coming away from that. That's not you anymore. That's not where you're going to live anymore. You need to go to this mountain. That's where you're going to be saved. And we all know the story. Lot's wife, she called to mind the things, or the place, or the country that she had come out of, and she looked back, and she had opportunity to return to it. And she turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot and his daughters didn't, and they made it. They kept their eyes on the mountain and the place that they were going to get free. And they made it. They were successful in reaching that place. So, you know, I know it's a harsh example, but it is an example of the situation. You will have opportunity to return to failure and to those things if you don't, you know, if you don't keep your eyes on the prize and keep your eyes on God and the vision ahead of you. So anyway, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll wrap this up real quick. Has this been good? And I'm not trying to teach you a doom and gloom and despair message. I mean, you know, just that you need, there are, like Dad says, there are things you need to remember, and there's things you've got to forget. And you've got to forget the old person, the old man, the old way of living. And, you know, this is a good example, too, that you see. You see this in general, just in people that aren't even, you know, Christians. They're not trying to give godly advice, but they are, in not realizing it. You know, when there's situations where people are coming out of addictions or, you know, like alcoholism or drugs or thievery or whatever it may be, you know, there's addictions to all kinds of things. But when people are coming out of those things, you know, one of the first things they tell them is to, got to change your friends. Thank you, Jeanette. That's exactly what I was going to say. You've got to change your friends. You've got to change your environment. You've got to come out of that country. Does that make sense? You've got to get yourself out of that and the surroundings and the environment, and right along with not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, you've got to come out of that country, and you can't look back to it because you're going to have opportunity to return to it. You know, you get hooked back up with those same people in that environment, and you're going to fall back into that again. But anyway, you know, that's one thing, that I remember. Not just, you see that in the world, but I mean, I've shared that too with people that I've, you know, been witnessing to or counseling with. And, you know, it's a great thing to get a hold of in your life, not just for you. This is, I mean, and, you know, that's the ministry, that's the heart of God. This is not all just for me. You know, this is for me to be able to help you, and for you to help somebody else, and just to keep going in perpetual, you know, wisdom and, you know, help and understanding that we're responsible for ministry, and that's what our job is. We are ministers, all ministers of the gospel for the kingdom. You know, we're trying to grow the kingdom. So anyway, you get a hold of this for yourself, but then, you know, so that you can help others as well. In Proverbs 4, you know, in believing God and for direction whenever you are, you know, this Proverbs is full of wisdom, wise sayings and good things that God, you know, would have you to do in life in general. And I remember there was the first single scripture besides John 3:16, the first single scripture I ever memorized when I was, Mom may remember some of this, that I can remember memorizing, you know, and really getting down. And I think it was the first thing I ever taught on in a children's church class up the stairs over here. And Miss Kay was the children's church or classroom teacher at the time, but she let me just share a little bit one morning. And the first thing I remember memorizing was Proverbs 1:5. And it was, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And that, you know, even as a little guy, I thought, you know, man, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. If I will sit underneath the teaching, which I've been able to do all my life, you know, I will increase learning. I will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. You know, I will, if I can keep myself in that position, you know, to be able to hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, you know, I'll be, that's considered wise, to put yourself in that position. And then I'll be, you know, if I can believe God and get the understanding of it as well, then, I will attain wise counsel. You know, that was one of the first, I don't know why it stuck out, but even in this Bible, which is one of my newer ones, it's circled. That's just one of them. But anyway, and then I think it was, you know, Psalms 1. You know, we memorized Psalms 1 when we were kids. But anyway, the Proverbs is full of just, you know, wisdom and understanding and getting wisdom and how to live life in general and how to increase your years and, you know, add years to your life and obeying your parents and just full of those things. And so, you know, hey, what better way to end a message like this but to look at how we're going to do this? What's our plan? What's our goal now? Okay, we know we're going to remember the good things. We're going to talk about how God delivered us and He set us free and He did this for us and He brought us out of this and, you know, helped us in this area or that area, and we're going to remember those things because that's how we're going to encourage ourselves. And Revelation 12:11 talks about how they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, when we are remembering those things, that's how we overcome, because it builds our faith. You know, when you hear testimonies of how other people have come out of certain situations that you're, or similar situations you're going through, or you yourself have gone through a similar situation and God brought you out of it, we're going to remember those things. We're going to forget the times that we just failed miserably before Christ or with Christ and sinned and didn't believe or whatever. We're going to forget those times, and we're going to remember the times that God brought us out, and we're going to say, hey, we can do better, and this is my goal. This is where I'm going. This is my vision, and this is the path I'm going to choose to get there. This is how I'm going to do it. And so anyway, it says in Proverbs 4, you know, what I'm going to do here, you just stay with me. We're going to read through this entire chapter, but not every verse. Okay, so first verse. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Okay, powerful. Powerful verse. Hear. Everybody say hear. We can listen. We can listen and we cannot hear, because our minds are not here. Does that make sense? You know, we can listen but not hear. We can read these scriptures and our mind can be somewhere else, and because we're not here, we don't hear. Okay? So hear. So pay attention. Let's think about this for a minute. Let's really focus on this. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, and do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Amen. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. When you're thinking about the right paths to take, look at the paths, and we'll get to this. We'll talk about this in a minute here, but look at the paths, all right, and don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't turn away from the Word of God. Don't turn away from the path that lines up with the Word of God. Does that make sense? Okay, when you're looking at which direction to go, you pray for wisdom. You pray for God to, you know, open your eyes up, and He will. He'll give you peace. You know, the way I operate is peace. You know, God give me wisdom. Which way do I need to go here? And I'll have a peace about a certain direction or decision to make. And I will not have peace about the wrong one. And that's how I try to operate. I'm not perfect. I hadn't been perfect. But for the most part, God's been faithful to me that way. You know, God's been faithful to me to make the right decision, and I haven't always made the right one. But anyway, I remember there was a car, and I mentioned this in a message a while back. I know you probably heard this, but I mean, there was a car that I did not have peace about buying. I just did not have peace about it. I was kind of pressured, you know, into, you know, we needed to trade a vehicle in, and we, And this was the kind of the car that was a nice car. It was a good car, you know. And the deal wasn't the greatest deal, but it helped us get out of this car and get into something that was going to, you know, the other one was about to go to vehicle graveyard. But I just didn't have peace about it. But like I said, I was kind of pressured into it, and I made a wrong decision. And that car was a money pit. I had done so much work on that car. But anyway, that's because I didn't follow peace. I didn't do it right. Anyway, all right, I didn't take that path and line it up with this word and say, okay, God, is this what I need to do? And study, find out. You know, there's a lot of instruction in the Word of God that you wouldn't think might be there, but there is a lot of instruction here about your daily lives and decisions you can make. All right, let's skip on down to verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. You know, this is very important as parents, obviously, too, as teachers, as parents, in any kind of position where you have people following your instruction or following you at all. You know, it talks about, and I don't remember the scripture, slips my mind here, but, you know, you train a child in the way that should go and they'll not depart from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go and he will not depart from it. If you, just like this right here, I have led you in right paths. He's been an example. You know, our Father God, Jesus, was here and he gave us an example. He's led us, in a sense, in the right paths. Now, he's in one way, you know, this is our training manual, we'll say. We may not have a physical, personal experience with Jesus, but we have had a spiritual experience with Jesus, and we are now Christians, and we have his life in this book, and we have what, you know, we're supposed to follow, and he has led us in right paths through this book, all right? Now, in one respect, now, he's trained us in the way that we should go. Now, we don't need to depart from it. Okay, you know, that's kind of the way I look at this too. He's led us in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Oh, goodness gracious. Do not enter in the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Pass on. Keep just close that gate to that way, that direction, and pass over it. Keep going. Skip on down to verse 18. The path of the just is like a shining light that shines even brighter into the perfect day. Really good song on that one. Was it Jenny Grind that sang that one, I think? Lamp of the righteous is like the light of God, shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. You know, as you're walking your path, as you get closer to God, that path is going to be brighter and brighter. As you get closer to your goal, it's brighter and brighter and bigger and bigger. You know, Dad's mentioned this example, and I've mentioned this example years and years ago, of how, you know, when you're looking at that promise, and it may look like it's way off, and it's little bitty on the horizon, the closer you get to that thing, the more, and it's a little bitty spot, a little bitty percentage, we'll say, of your total vision. But if you keep your eyes on that, and you keep going toward it, what happens to that little bitty percentage? It starts to grow, and it starts to fill your vision. It starts to fill your eyesight as you walk towards that promise, and you keep your eyes on that vision, on that prize, on that goal. Man, before long, it's just like that scripture says, it gets brighter and brighter. It comes more real, more evident. Oh, hey, we're getting excited. We're getting closer to it. And before long, it is completely filled our whole vision, and we have arrived. Amen? When it encompasses our whole vision, we have arrived. That's what it's saying here. Your path will get brighter and brighter as you continue on in the right direction, amen? Okay, let's skip on down to, it's just all good stuff. Let's skip on down to verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Okay, this is just kind of reiterating what we've talked about. Don't look at the things behind. Don't look back. Don't look the wrong way, which is behind you. Okay, look straight ahead. Let your eyes look straight ahead Your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left, and remove your foot from evil. And I always have this. I have a footnote here. Well, I've written all over this page and in the sidebar here. But when you ponder the path of your feet, and we talked about this, lining this path up with the Word of God, I'm reminded of the in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity. Everybody say, bring in. Bring into captivity. How do we bring into captivity? We start confessing it and talking it and dwelling on that. So bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so when you're pondering your paths and your directions in which you want to go, it's just like a scale. You need to balance and weigh that thing. You'll say, okay, now, is this thing in lining up with God's word? I'm bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience. Does this obey what God says? Is this going to fall in line with the obedience of Christ? You know, can I see this? Can I see examples of this in the Bible? This is what, you know, should I do this? Does it exalt itself against God's knowledge? Does this not line up with God's word? So you should take and weigh these things in the balance. You know, this goal in life, this vision, you know, for the future, whatever it may be, this New Year's resolution. You know, is this what God would have me to do? We need to ponder the path of our feet. Don't just take off, you know, jump out there without some preparation and planning and looking into God's word and finding out if it is, you know, a vision that we can share. Because that's what we talked about in the beginning. We have to have a vision that can be common, you know, and a good vision, obviously, one that lines up with God's word, but a good vision that we can all share and be a part of, amen, and go for and attain. So, close out with that. Remember not those things which are behind you that would discourage you from winning. Remember God's word and his examples and the examples and experiences in your own life that would help you to overcome and meet those challenges and meet those, you know, goals and visions in life. Amen.